Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 7. We'll begin from verse 36 to 50. While you're turning there, I want to welcome our visitor, Sam. Glad to have you here, and glad that you feel the warmth and love of God. While you're here, welcome. And welcome back to an old friend, Carmi. So she's here for just a couple of months. Happy to see you again. So we had somebody on the piano, but you're more than welcome to join on the piano whenever you have a chance. And hello back to Micah as well. So, all right, let's go ahead and read one of the best stories in this Bible. I say it's one of the best because it's so good that it's included in all four of the accounts of Jesus' life. It's that good. So I'll read the first half, and please join me in the second half. So I'll read from verse 36 to verse 42. Okay? So please join me at verse 43. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Let's read together. Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The very word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, such a good story. Where to begin? You know, let's begin with the gospel. If you remember it, please say it with me, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It's our verse for the year. I'm just going to say it. If you know it, go ahead, say it with me. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to all who hear it, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile." Yeah, amen. The gospel, biblically speaking, is that Jesus is all of the hope of Israel. And therefore, he is all of the hope of the world. Now, what does that mean for all of us here? Here. The gospel in this story is this. God has come to forgive sins. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if I'd say to you, God has come to forgive sins, there are one of two possible reactions. One is, thank you. I need to hear that. I love to hear that. The more I hear it, the better I am. The other reaction is, that's nice, but no thank you. I'm fine just the way I am. Okay? And for that person, it's not good news. It's just therapy. But the gospel for everyone who believes is that God, no matter who you are, what you've done, where you've come from, Okay. This is the great thing about Luke. Luke is showing from the very first story about the paralytic being healed, all the way to this story about the woman being forgiven. The people who you never expect to understand the gospel, the people who you never think would receive the good news, the people who you never think, who is Jesus going to save? Who is Jesus going to love? Who is Jesus going to serve? Maybe the ones who know the Bible more. Maybe the ones who always go to church, which is the synagogue. Maybe the ones who memorize the scriptures from Genesis to Deuteronomy, like the Pharisees. Maybe the ones who often give from their salary, like most Jews. Maybe those are the ones Jesus would accept. Luke is saying, no. The leper, the centurion, the widow, the foreigner, the tax collector, the sinner. Those are the people whom Jesus is going out for.
Amen.
Yes. And here's the thing also that Luke is showing us. The people who you expect to understand Jesus, to get his message, they're exactly the people who a woman. Now, we didn't read the next section. It's Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Now, you don't have to look at that, but I'm just going to tell you. It's all about the women that Jesus is supporting. That's supporting Jesus' ministry. They're rich, they're poor, okay? They're all kinds of women. What's the point? Jesus lifts up women more than any other religious leader that ever lived. Yeah. I remember I was at school a few years ago. Someone asked me, because I'm sort of the Bible expert at my school. And they said, Habakkuk, we want to show that the Bible treats women good. And they said, you know, how about Genesis? You know, is Genesis good? You know, God created them, man and male and female, right? And so they're both equal. And I said, yeah, of course, that's great. But I wanted to just say, the whole Bible lifts up women in society. Especially Jesus, and this is one of them. Not only is she a woman, an unmarried woman, single woman, no children. Not only is she a woman that's unmarried, no children, she had demons all inside of her, possessing her. This is from the other accounts in the other gospels. Not only is she a woman, not married, demon-possessed, and single, she was a woman who sold her body to make a living. Like, you want to talk about the outsider of the outsider. You want to talk about someone people don't even bother to think of. Do you know anybody like this? Have you met people in this situation? Were you a person like this? I want to tell you today that all of us are this woman. Yes. And I want to submit to you that, man, oh, just as much as this woman is weeping at Jesus' feet, the gospel is that Jesus came to forgive sins should bring us at least to tears. At least. Martin Luther calls it the water of the heart. The water that cleanses our souls. It's the waters of repentance, the waters of worship. And oh, my prayer today, my prayer this whole week was as I was meditating on this scripture, man, I couldn't wait to come to church. I couldn't wait to ask for God's presence to fill this room. I couldn't wait to proclaim the good news that's shown in this story. So, with that, I've got another 20 minutes left. We got to get moving, okay? We'll do it in three sections. We see the first section, the sinner, the second section, the saint, and the third section, the story. So we'll start with the sinner, the woman, okay? So Jesus is in a Pharisee's house. His name is Simon. Simon is the saint, but while they're having dinner, the woman comes in, knock, 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 okay? This is crazy. This is a house full of men, a house full of holy men, and the guest of honor is the holiest of all men, okay? And a woman knocks on the door. Now, usually you'd say, what are you doing here? Get out. This has nothing to do with you. But she probably says, I'm here for Jesus. What are you going to say? Right? Okay, he's right here, all right? So she comes in, and, okay, I don't know if you're familiar, but the way that people ate in the Middle East is similar to how they eat here in Japan. There's no chairs. You sit at a low table, and you're not sitting Japanese style, which your legs folded and chopsticks. You're leaning forward, and your feet are going out. Okay, so all the heads are in the middle of the table, leaning over and eating, and your feet are kind of out. And so she comes directly to Jesus. Imagine the room. Everybody's quiet. We stop our eating. We stop our conversations. And she just starts weeping. Weeping so much. That it's enough tears to wash the feet of a man, okay? And so and if she had prepared for this, she probably would have brought a towel. But she has no towel to wipe the feet of Jesus, so she just wipes the feet with her hair. Her hair. In order for her to wipe Jesus' feet with her hair, she has to let her hair down. Right? In this society, traditional, conservative, ancient, male hierarchy, patriarchal, male dominated, for a woman to let her hair down, oh my word. The rabbis would say if she put her hair down, that's the equivalent of her taking her shirt off. The Talmud is a commentary of the Old Testament. In the Talmud, it says, if a woman let her hair down to anyone other than her husband, it was grounds for divorce. Okay? That's how crazy this is. This is the sinner. And so she's letting her hair down, wiping the feet of Jesus. What kind of what is it that grabbed her so much that she could care less about what everybody thinks. What is it that got inside of her to do something like this? I want to tell you, you know, this is probably the first time that she's ever let her hair down for free. Up until this point, men have had to pay her for this. She's doing it for free. She's doing it with no shame. She's doing it completely out of love. One more thing. She's wiping the feet with her hair. She has a small jar made of alabaster. It's kind of soft stone. Now, the way they make this jar, okay, is they have to make it with the perfume already inside before it's set. They make it so that you put the perfume in, and there's no way to pour it out. You could turn it upside down. It's not going to it's not going to do that. In order to let the perfume come out, you have to break it. What is this jar? What is this perfume? What is it? Now, I want you to imagine back 2,000 years ago, no refrigerators, okay? No air conditioning, right? No, cool fabrics or synthetics. People did not smell as nice as they do now, okay? And women, what they would do to make themselves attractive and lovely is they would put a rope around this jar of perfume, and they would wear it around their neck. And it was a sort of way to alleviate certain odors. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes? But this jar of perfume is not just her beauty mark, okay? This jar of perfume was what allowed her to earn her money, right? It's what allowed her to sustain herself. It was her life. It was everything that she had. It was expensive. It was worth 500 days' work, 300 days' work, depending on the story. And she comes to Jesus with her life, with everything that she has, her beauty, her adoration, her worth, what made her something in this society, as little as it was, she brought it to Jesus, and she had to break it in order for it to pour out. Do you see what she's doing? Do you see what she's doing? She's completely free. She's completely without shame, and she's completely giving over her life. Listen. Some of us here, we think being a Christian is saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he's good and he's maybe God. I believe that being a Christian is something I should do. Jesus is telling us here. Luke is showing us in the story. No. What is faith? What is faith that saves you? What is faith that transforms you so much that you are absolutely free? You don't care. It's this. It's taking everything that you are, whatever it is. It's taking your alabaster jar, your flask, your worth, your role in society, your goodness, your righteousness, your wrongness, your unrighteousness, and you lay it at the feet of Jesus. Amen. You give it all away. Whatever you are. And this woman, all that she was in this alabaster jar. This is everything. And she says, I'm done with this. And here's the thing. Here it is. This jar used to be my master. What this jar bought me was what controlled me. But now I have a new master. I have someone who is not going to control me, but I have someone who is now setting me free. And that's why I can just give it all away. That is saving faith. And that's why Jesus says, your faith has saved you. Amen?
Amen.
That's the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. If you think that Jesus is here to make you have a good life and make you feel good and have a kind of a perspective on life that gives you, that's nice and that's all good and that's wonderful, but you will not be transformed until you come to the feet of Jesus, broken for your sin, but also rejoicing that your sins are forgiven. There's two things there. You see it? You're broken for your sin. You're repenting for your sin. But you're rejoicing that they are all forgiven. You see, here's Simon now. We went from the sinner, let's go to the saint, the quote-unquote saint, Simon. Simon, he's not doing a bad thing. He says, Jesus, I see you're a prophet. You're helping some people out. I'm going to be your supporter. Come on. Come to my house. I'm a Pharisee. I've got some cash. I know some people. I have a hat. Okay? I have a job description. Come on. You come over. So, thank you. So, he comes to the house, right? And that's what, and having Jesus over for dinner, that's a sign of friendship, fellowship. Okay? It's a good thing. So, Jesus, come, sit down, and tell us your stories. You know what Simon is doing? He comes to Jesus out of practicality, compulsion. This is a good thing to do. This will, you know, I'm here for you, young man. And if you're really who you say you are, maybe you're some kind of prophet, you're a good holy man, then we can help each other. You scratch my back, right? See, that's the faith that Simon has. And unfortunately, for me, sometimes, maybe for you, we have Simon faith. Does anybody? No, don't raise your hand. But do you have Simon faith? It's the faith that comes to Jesus because, well, you know, the place I grew up when everybody kind of sort of comes to Jesus. Well, you know, it will kind of, you know, when I die, maybe if there is a heaven, at least I don't go to hell, right? This is the faith that says, I have enough. I'm not as bad as her. I know I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as her. But you know what? That's bad enough for you to go to hell. Okay? That's it. There is a hell. And whatever sin that you have, however small it is, it's enough for you to have to pay God. Paying God. Okay, so now we go to the third part, the story. Okay? So Jesus wants to tell Simon a little story to help him understand. Okay? So Simon, you're a smart guy. Let's do some kindergarten spirituality. Okay? Simon, here we go. Listen up. Two people owed some money. 50 days wages, 500 days wages. Okay? They both owed. They couldn't pay. So the money lender forgave their debt. Simon, who is more grateful for their forgiveness? A or B? Simon says, obviously, the one with the bigger debt. Ding, 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 ding. Good job, Simon. Good for you. Jesus is saying we all have a debt. We all have debts. Every month, you get something in the mail, right? This is your phone debt. This is your internet debt. If you can't say amen, you can say ouch, okay? This is your credit card debt, right? We all have something to pay. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. How much do you owe God? That's the question. No. Not how much your mother owes God, not how much your friend owes God. How much do you owe God? And you could say, you can come to church, and you could say, okay, from today, I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to live right. I could be perfect from today on out. You know what? You could do that. You could be perfect from today. But that does not erase. You're just not adding to the debt you already have. Right? And here's the thing Jesus is saying. And this is the thing that Mary understands. I'm going to close soon. What Mary understands is no matter Simon's debt or her debt, when debt is forgiven, someone still has to pay, right? If I lend you money, you can't pay it back, and I say, it's okay, it's all right, don't pay back. I still lose something. I have to pay. I have to absorb that debt. Simon does not understand that. Well, maybe he understands it a little. Mary understands. Because she understood somehow, some way. And this is the beauty of it. This is the beauty of it. In Matthew and Mark and in John, Jesus says she gets why she needs to anoint me. She's anointing me for my death. It's not here in Luke. Luke is kind of emphasizing something different, but it's still valuable, I think. Mary understands her debt is being paid. And Mary understands the one who's paying the debt. You see, Jesus, all this time, he's telling his disciples, I'm going to die. I'm going to the cross in Jerusalem, and I'm going to pay for everybody. And the disciples are like, Jesus, calm down. Just relax. No, Jesus, you're talking crazy. Just relax. We'll be fine. And Jesus is just, he can't get through to his disciples, but who gets it? The woman, right? She gets it. And so she's weeping. And I contend, it's not just tears of bitter repentance, but it's also tears of great joy. It's great joy. She understands. She's been healed of her demons. She knows there is a power greater than every demon. She saw her brother raised from the dead, her brother Lazarus. She knows right here is a power greater than death. And she knows that if Jesus is going to die and resurrect, she understands that death is for my sin. That blood is in my place. And that blood washes everything. All that I've done, everything in the past, all the men who used me, all the men that have abused me, everything that I'm filthy and dirty of, everything is washed by the blood that he's going to shed on the cross for me. And she's weeping that. If you have Simon faith, how do you get to Mary's faith? How do you get to her faith? This is how you do it. You go to the cross and you see how beautiful, how wonderful, how great that cross is. Because that cross erases your sins. And the more you understand your sin, the deeper you go into your sin, the deeper that blood comes to cleanse it. Amen? Get down there. Get right down there. And if you can't get down there, God will help you. He humbles people. He makes you get sick. He makes you have difficulty at work. You have difficulty in relationships. You have problems with money. You have problems with your own self. And you understand, I'm so proud, I'm so arrogant, I'm so sinful and dirty. Help me, God. And God says, come to the cross. Come right here. I got something right for you. It's the gospel. God has come to cleanse you from your sin, your past, your dirty, your filthy unholiness. And he's there to make you holy. Union with God. Salvation for our souls. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Dear friend, if you're a Christian, if you're almost a Christian, whatever it is, the closer you get to the cross, the closer you come to Jesus who forgave Mary's sins, the more you follow him, the more you put your faith in him, the more you trust in him, Jesus will be everything that you will ever need to face any sin, any trial, any temptation. Now listen, I don't know what it is, okay? Some of you, look, lightning sometimes comes out of the blue, right? Out of a blue sky, there's lightning. It's weird. But most of the time, lightning comes out of what? The clouds. I don't know if you've got some clouds in your life, but sometimes those clouds are there for the lightning to strike. And that lightning is the grace of God. Oh, would you see it? Oh, would you turn your head and see the glory of God? It's at the cross. Would you pray with me? God, sometimes my alabaster jar is my job title. God, sometimes my alabaster jar is my place at home. Sometimes my alabaster jar is in my intellect. God, sometimes my alabaster jar is in my accomplishments, in my resume. Sometimes my alabaster jar is in my health. Sometimes my alabaster jar is in my relationship and romance. God, I give you my alabaster jar. I give you everything I'm worth, everything that gives me worth. I give you what mastered me, and I surrender to you as my master and Lord. God, I have such little faith. Please give me more. God, I have such weak faith. Please make it stronger. God, I want your spirit, your presence, your life in me. Jesus, I want to follow you better than I did yesterday, more than I do today. God, I give you my life here and now once more. I thank you for taking it, receiving it. I thank you for the hope I have. I thank you for my struggles, my trials, and my temptations. I thank you for the strength that you give me through the cross of Jesus. And it is in his name that we pray all of these things. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and stand as we sing our closing song together.
Amazing love, I know it's true.
now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you all for coming today. God bless you. Have a great week. Amen.